Good morning. Good to see everyone, especially our visitors. Good to have Jim from Shawnee here this morning. Good to see him. Please turn to 535. Good to see Cindy back with us. She wanted me to announce about pitchers back there. If you didn't know it, everyone's welcome to one. Your family or whatever. Good. Thank her for that. 535. Daryl's here this morning. Good to have him come and speak for us. 535. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace from the toils that by me. Please stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful to come together today to be able to worship you, study your word, and sing these songs unto you. God, we ask you to be with those unable to be with us today with various health illnesses, those mentioned in our prayer list. God, we thank you for having Daryl come today as our speaker. Please be with him as he gives us a lesson from your word. Be with us that we're able to learn from the lesson and apply it to our lives to continue to grow as Christians. God, thank you for the many blessings in this world, and please forgive us of our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 19. Verses 16 through 22, and then the Pew Bible, that is page 1372. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, that shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, and he had great possessions.
Please turn to 536. At this song, we'll turn over to Daryl. There is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Oh, Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing, with glorified immortals, the praises of its King. O Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see.
Good to be with you again. On mute. There you go. We'll try it now. Well, hopefully you heard what I said, that my wife wasn't feeling well, but Lord willing, we'll be back here again next Sunday. We'll be with you at that time. For those that are watching us on the Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or whatever, we're glad you're with us and would hope that perhaps in the future you might be able to find the time to be able to come worship with us here at the South Main Street Church of Christ. The year is almost over. January 31st is coming to a close. I saw a little cartoon that involved Snoopy and the little bird buddy Woodstock. And they were talking, and Snoopy was telling him, he says, well, they have something on paper that's got squares on it. And it gives them the day of the week and the month of the year and the year. And then when it's all said and done, they start it all over again. And Woodstock made some kind of comment. It was as, you know, he shows in with his little lines, because you never know what he's saying. And Snoopy says, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, you know, maybe sometimes it doesn't, but maybe sometimes it does, that we have a close to a year. It gives you time to look back at things. It gives you time to look back and wonder at the things that you've done this year. You yourself personally. Things that have happened in your life. And as we go through this lesson, I want us to think about something that most of us have done. Now, we may not do it now that maybe some of us are getting a little older, but when we were younger, we all had a tendency to make resolutions. Resolutions that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you know, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to do this, I'm going to see that I try to get this done at the house, I'm going to see about doing this, that, and the other. You know, of course, the biggest resolution so many of us sometimes make is, I'm going to make a change in the weight. And what happens to those resolutions? What happens to them? He's back here shaking his head. Don't happen, does it? We usually let them fall to the wayside. We let them just go aside. Well, I want us to take a minute to look at some things from this past year that maybe have occurred in your life. Perhaps for some it was a good year in some ways. For others, as you look back through your year, you may say it was a disappointing year. Perhaps you had good health, or in this case of some, they had some setbacks in health. Thankfully, the Lord has extended that health and given health back. Perhaps you look back at your finances through this year and you say, wow, where did it all go? Or maybe you were fortunate. Maybe your finances remain stable, or maybe things even are looking up for you. Your house, your transportation, were you able to maintain the things that needed to be done on the house? The maintenance that needed to be done on the car, or truck, or SUV, whatever you have. How was your communication this past year? Or the attention, or lack of it, given to somebody that you love, or someone that you should show attention to and communicate with perhaps better? How about the way we treat strangers, family members, loved ones, or ones we are supposed to love? We see them on a day-by-day basis, but how did we treat them? How did we deal with those people? Perhaps there maybe are ones that you've lost this year. Time just caught up with them. But perhaps maybe a new birth came into the family. So there may be some sadness, but there may be some joy as well with that young one that's there. And your worship also, when you're serving God. As you look back over the year, are you pleased with it? And would God be pleased with it, the way you've worshiped him and the way you've served him? So, what's ahead of us for the new year? The new year. You know, spring comes, flowers begin to grow, things look new. So, what do we have to look forward to the new year. Well, we have our health. Will it be good or will it be bad? Our housing. Will we get the things done that we need to do around the house, or will we get the maintenance done on the car or the truck, whatever we're driving, that we need to do, or will we just keep putting it off? The communication that you have with your loved ones over the next year, will it improve? Will it become better? Will the arms be outstretched to hold and to hug? Or will the arms be outstretched to push away? When we meet the stranger on the street, in the grocery store, they pass somebody by on the, in their car, how will we treat that person? And what about death and life? Death and life will be part of this year for some of us. But again, what about your worship to God? Will your worship to God this year, this coming year, this coming 2025, be better than it was in 2024? Will you serve God in a more wholeheartedly way in 2025 than you did in 2024? You see, that's what the whole thing's about. God doesn't want resolutions. He wants commitment. He wants us to be committed. We can all make resolutions and say, oh, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And like Steve was shaking his head a little bit ago, we don't keep resolutions. But will we keep commitments to God? Will we be committed to be a better person in 2025 than we are and have been in 2024? Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 to our reading that Tyler had for us. Let's take a look at this rich, as in, he's oftentimes referred to as the rich young ruler. And beginning there at Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said to him, him being Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This young man had a legitimate question. He wasn't showboating. He wasn't just trying to put a show on other people. He had a question within his heart. What do I need to do, as we would say today, to get to heaven? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? Now we know Jesus is making a point there, because he said there is no one good but one, and that is God. Jesus is basically telling them this is a whole other lesson. Are you comparing me with God? And in this case, actually, the answer would be yes, because Jesus and God are one. But he says, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Make a commitment. Don't make a resolution. Make a commitment to keep these commandments. And let's see what he says to Jesus. Which ones? He's saying, I want it down to where the rubber meets the road. I want you to be specific with Jesus. Just don't talk in general terms. Jesus says, okay, you want it? You want it right down there where it counts? I'm going to tell you. And Jesus looks at him and says, here's what you need to do if you want to go to heaven. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. Notice, these are all the commandments from the Ten Commandments that dealt with the relationship between people and people. Between people and people. Not between people and God. Jesus evidently wasn't concerned about that young man's heart in this instance. He knew it. He knew what was in his heart. So he didn't have to go with the first ones. You know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, so on and so forth. He didn't have to say those to him. But he said, you do these. And then the young man said, you know, probably with a sigh of relief, man, all these things I've kept from my youth. I've been committed to doing these things. Is there anything else that I need to do a better job of? Now, evidently, there was something in his mind that wasn't clicking. Evidently, there was something that he's still within himself saying, I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven. I want to be sure that I'm in that book of remembrance that Malachi mentioned that we studied about this morning. I want to make sure my name's there in that book of remembrance. He said, I've done all these. Am I okay? And Jesus looks at him. He says, if you want to be perfect, perfect. Not perfect necessarily as we think of the word perfect, but one who's giving your heart completely to God. One who is worried about serving him first, because if I serve him, I'll serve others the way I should. He says, if you want to be perfect, all you have to do is this. If you want to have your book written in that book of remembrance, all you have to do is this. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Simple. What did he need to do in 2025? He was a rich individual. He needed to take what he had, sell it, and give it to somebody else. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken something that you owned and sold it? Have you ever taken something that you have and just given it to somebody who was in need? Did you ever take, when you saw somebody counting their pennies out to try to pay the groceries at the local grocery store, did you ever reach in your pocket and tell them, here, take it out of this? Jesus told him, I'm looking for a commitment from you. I'm looking for you to be committed if you want to go to heaven. And all you have to do is this one thing. One. Not 15. Not put a billboard up saying, I'm doing this. Not be on TV saying, give me all your money and this will happen. Jesus says, I just need you to do one thing. I need you to give your heart to me. That's all it was. The man's heart was not given to Jesus. His heart was here. His heart was in this, these greenbacks. His heart was here. And these credit cards. That's where his heart was. And Jesus says, get rid of it. Now, Jesus isn't telling all of us to go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. What Jesus is saying, you make sure your money is not the center of your life. It was the center of that man's life. And the only way that man would be able to get his life centered was to do what Jesus said. Now, if your entire life revolves around your money, then maybe you need to do the same thing, the young man. If you use your money, as Malachi, we were talking about in Malachi this morning, where God said, you've robbed me. And they said, well, how have we robbed you? You've robbed me in tithes. You've robbed me in the tithes, and you robbed me in the givings. God said, give it, put it in the storehouse. Now, if you're already doing that, then that isn't something you have to worry about. But if you're not, perhaps you're like that man. And your money is the center of your life. That's what you're devoted. That's what you're committed to, and you're not committed to Christ. And that was this man's problem. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and when you do that, you will have treasure in heaven. You'll have treasure in heaven. And the young man had come evidently with the purpose of making a resolution and not making a commitment. Because it says, when he heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had money in the stock market. He had money invested in his bank. He had money invested here, there, and everywhere else. And that money was what mattered the most to him. Oh, it was easy not to kill somebody. Hopefully nobody here has ever killed anybody, at least not in murder. You know, hopefully the other commands that Jesus said there that, you know, we can say, well, that's easy. We've done all those things. And that young man did say that. I've done all those things. Jesus says, yeah, but you're not committed to me. You're committed to me in those ways, but you're not committed to me totally. It's so easy not to be committed sometimes. Let's take a minute to jump over to Second Timothy chapter 4. Some other ways that people aren't committed. Like I said, maybe the problem in your life, those that are watching on through the network, maybe your problem isn't money. So let's look at some other people, other ways that people aren't committed. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Paul tells the apostle Timothy, come to me quickly. I need you to come to me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. I'm going to stop us right there. We all the time give Demas a bad rap because he had to love this present world. I don't know what that means. I don't know that that means that he turned his back on the Lord. What I can tell you was that for sure is he didn't want to go through the suffering that Paul was going through. Now, did he have a problem of being committed? Perhaps. But I also see that two others left. Cretans went to Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia. They also had left Paul for whatever reason. We don't know. He said, the only one that stayed with me is Luke. And he said, now, go get Mark. We oftentimes refer to him as John Mark. He was the young man that when Paul and Barnabas first went on their first missionary journey, he took them He went along with them. He was Barnabas' nephew, as we understand things. And as they're going through this missionary journey, things got rough. Things got tough. I don't know what happened. All we know is that John Mark left. We find that back over in Acts chapter 12. In Acts 13, it says that John Mark returned to Jerusalem. Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on their second missionary journey. Barnabas says, I want to bring Mark. And Paul says, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. And it says the contention between them was so much that they split. Did they sin? No. Barnabas just says, Mark's ready for this now. Paul said, I don't think he is. So they basically made the decision. You go here, I'll go here. The Lord bless you in what you're going to do, and the Lord bless you with what you're going to do. And Paul took Silas. But we get over here years later. I don't know how many years, I didn't take time to look it up. He said, get Mark. This same Mark that he didn't want to have long earlier, you get him and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in this ministry. He has committed himself to the Lord, and I can use him. Bring him. Bring him. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 25. Sometimes referred to as the judgment of the nations. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 34. Excuse me. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food, thirsty, you gave me drink, I was a stranger, and you took me in. And he goes on and he says the things that these people did. And they said, when did we ever do this to you? And he said, you were committed to me. You were committed to me because you did it to people that you knew. You helped strangers. You helped people you didn't know. And because you were committed to me, you get to come into the kingdom. The kingdom that is prepared for you. Verse 40, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Because the same reasons. I was hungry, but you didn't feed me. Thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. A stranger, you didn't take me in. And they're going to say, when did we see this? Every time that you were uncommitted and didn't help somebody, you were uncommitted to me. Jesus says. And he said, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in eternal life. Those that are committed will go to eternal life. And one other passage we're going to look at, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. In fact, we're going back up to verse 11. John writing here, he says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So we're ready. We're at judgment day. Heaven and earth is gone. Don't ask me what we're standing on. Don't ask me how we are being held in space. That's the Lord's dealings. Because it says the heavens and the earth have fled away. They're not there. In verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, or in other words, in our language, important and unimportant people, stand before God. Books were opened. And another book was opened. That book is the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. That's the first group of books that was opened up. Malachi called it the book of, in a minute, what we refer to as the book of life is what he called the book of remembrance. So everybody that isn't written in the book of remembrance are ones in these first two books. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, as Malachi said, the book of remembrance, was cast into the lake of fire. Why? Lack of commitment. Oh, so many of those people were Christians at one time. They were resolved to serve the Lord. They had a resolution within their own heart and own mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. But then they broke their resolution. And they weren't committed. Because they weren't committed, heaven was not theirs. Question for you this morning, are you committed? I would hope and pray that you are. Because if you are committed to serving the Lord according to his standards, according to his laws, not the commands of some man, not something that some woman has written down, but according to the commands that's written within the Lord's book, the book of life. So this morning, as we need to, if you need to respond in any fashion, will you come as together we stand and sing?
Living power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you wholly trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Thank Daryl for fine lesson this morning. If you will, turn to 133. sing this song as we prepare our minds, take the Lord's Supper.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he still stormed Galilee. I believe that he walked on the water. And I believe that he's the answer. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer.
Does anyone need communion? The reading comes from John chapter 6, starting with verse 53. I really like these verses. Then Jesus said unto them, Very, very, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drinketh his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now let's turn to Matthew 26. In verse 26 and 27 to read. Verse 26, And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, how do we eat Jesus' flesh? Jesus said, the bread represents my body. So when we take the bread and eat of the unleavened bread, we are eating the flesh of Jesus. And as we drink of the juice that represents Jesus' blood, we are taking of his blood, drinking his blood. So let's go to the Lord and give him thanks for the bread. Our Almighty Father, we're so thankful, Lord God, to be able to take his communion with thee, O Lord thy God. Lord God, we ask your blessings upon this bread as we take it, Lord, in remembrance of your Jesus' body and what he did for us. So thankful for your many blessings and what all he did for us. Jesus Christ's name, amen. And as Jesus took the cup and he supped and said, this is my blood given for you. Let's go to the Lord and give him thanks for his blood. Dear Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord God, for your blood that was shed upon Calvary, Lord. That forgives us of our sins, Lord. And what your blood does for us, Lord, that we could come to the Father and be saved through you, Lord. So we're so thankful for what you did for us that day and the shedding of your blood. So thankful. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Now it's come time for give thanks for the offering. You know, we give back as we prosper. Dear God, we're so thankful, Lord God, for everything that you give us down this through this week, Lord God. Lord God, as it comes time for us to give back, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would give back from a heart of love, Lord, that we have for thee, Lord, that we would give righteously to you what you require of us, Lord. And so thankful, Lord God, for everything you've done for us down through the week and the weeks to come, Lord. You have done so much in Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Time for the announcement.
Good to see everyone this morning. Please get a bulletin. Remember, Lisa Hoffman's been down, not feeling well. She's doing a little better, Tammy said. Remember her? Also remember Les Ward, been in the hospital. Remember him? Rosemary, hospital. Chris Cochran and Carol Ann has COVID. We'll remember these in our prayers. Betty Onis hadn't been feeling good. Remember her? Remember, please remember Bonnie going through so much for lung problem. Guess they postponed Charles Savage's surgery. So we'll keep him in our prayers, though. Sue McGreevy's wasn't feeling good last week. I remember her. You feeling better, Sue? Anyone have anything else on people sick? Just speak up, please. Wednesday night Bible class won't be this Wednesday. We're going to have our get-together over there Tuesday night, New Year's Eve. Hope everyone can come and join fellowship, have the good to eat, and we'll have a devotion and singing. So please come and be with the church. Probably other things people could be doing, but very important to have fellowship with the Lord's people. Okay, good to have Jim with us this morning from Shawnee and Cindy back with us. Any other visitors? Janitor sheet up for next year. Please sign that and get enough volunteers to do that. It helps on that. If you can sign that, please. December birthdays, Haley McGreevy, December 29th. That's today. Happy birthday to her. December 30th, Dave and Rosie's anniversary. Hope they have a good day. Many more. Holly's birthday is December 30th. Remember her and her health problems she's been having. Again, good to have Daryl with us. And Karen wasn't feeling well. Help tell her hi. Anything else? Okay, if not, let's go to God in prayer. Whoever has closing prayer.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together to worship thee, sing songs, praise thee, hear your word proclaimed. Dear Lord, please be with all those who have been mentioned here this morning, has been sick and afflicted, as fortunate we are. Comfort, strengthen, as only you can. Be with those of lost loved ones. Comfort them also, Lord. Dear Lord, help us be better Christians, better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Birthdays, Ernie.
Yeah.
That get-together will probably be 6 to 8 or somewhere in there Tuesday night.
One second.